This is KHOI Community Radio, and you're listening to Local Talk. I'm your host, Gail Seidler. And the Ames Progressive Alliance is now in the studio. We have Ann Kinzel and Carolyn Myers, and they've invited some folks from the Ames Tenant Union who are also here. So I will turn things over to them right now.
Thanks, Gail. Today we're going to introduce our audience to a new group of activists in Ames who've come together around the issue of tenants' rights. Our guests today are Preston Burris and Javier Miranda, who are the two co-chairs of the Ames Tenant Union. Welcome, guys. How you doing this morning? A little wet?
A little.
A little, huh? Well, we're glad that you're going to be able to share both the history of your group in Ames and the kind of actions that you take part in. For our listeners, a little background. We understand from your Ames Tenant Union Facebook page that you have a distinct mission that focuses on renters, or what you call tenants. What I see from your Facebook page, it says that you can stop rent increases by working together, get a fair return on deposits, security deposits, and be free from negligent and abuse landlords. And your contention is that rents are increasing rampantly in Ames as a handful of landlords grow more powerful. And in order to make housing safe and affordable for all people, tenants need to organize. And the three pillars of your union are organizing tenant associations, education campaigns around tenants' rights, and solidarity with activists, advocates, and providers of fair housing. That's an ambitious agenda that you have. I'm sure our listeners can't wait to hear more.
Yes, I'm interested as well. So this question is for both of you. Can you kind of give me a brief history of your organization?
This is Javier. So we founded, a bunch of us, students and non-students, local just working renters in the community, founded the Ames Tenants Union last year in, I want to say, March. And since then, we have done a bunch of these things. Last summer, we helped a woman get her $750 security deposit back. Her landlord, am I allowed to say which landlord specifically it was?
No, I think I'd probably just keep it to landlords.
Okay, well, a landlord here in Ames, and yeah, if you're listening, you know who you are, was holding this woman's $750 security deposit for over a month without telling her what was going on. So she came to us, and she had tons of documentation, which was great. And so we went in there with her. She and we wrote a letter, and she delivered it to the landlord, and 10 of us came with her, and the landlord got like furious and was like, "You're disrupting our business," and they called the cops on us, so we left. But the next Monday she got a call from them saying, "Yeah, okay, our lawyer says we need to pay you." That was a result of having both the law on our side in that case as leverage and having a bunch of tenants together and community allies together. So just one or the other didn't cut it. We needed to have community support and we needed to have some leverage. We've been up to things like that. We also had a petition going around at another rental complex in Southwest Ames. And there's a few articles in the ISU Daily about this. We had a petition that had a lot of things on it. And unfortunately, we didn't get all the things that we were pushing for. But we got the landlord to fix several ongoing maintenance issues, such as buildings not having doors on them at all. And this was... this and a combination of other things were leading to people having over $150 utility bills every month. And other than that, we've been slowly growing here in Ames. We're really focusing on making sure that our renter members are getting like educated and are getting trained up to be the kind of tenant organizers that we need to see in Ames.
How do people become members of the tenant union?
You have to sign a membership form and fill out some information, and then you take a pledge. And that you can do that at any of our meetings, or if you just come up to one of the executive committee members, we can all do it, I think.
Okay. And if you're like a homeowner but you want to support or become a member because you support, you know, fair housing, within Ames and all across the United States, how do you become a member that way? Can you do that?
You can't become a member, but we do welcome allies into mm-hmm. our meetings, and we welcome allies to get involved as well. But membership is reserved for tenants, just to keep
sure.
things focused on tenant interests.
I want to get back to this issue of the security deposits, because I remember that from my days as a college renter. So when you said that the person that you helped, Javier, had good documentation, for our listeners, could you tell us a little bit what you mean by good documentation?
Yeah, so she had gotten documentation. She had a copy of her lease, and she had all the letters she had gotten from her landlord, which were just there to kind of acknowledge that, yes, the landlord did recognize that she was the tenant living here, things like that. She had a few other issues with her landlord, which she also documented as well. Yeah, she kept everything she had received from her landlord. And because she kept all these things, we were able to work with her. And she got in touch with Iowa Legal Aid, I believe, who were able to say, look, here's what's going wrong, but we can't, you know, help you in court with this issue because, surprise, surprise, agencies that help out renters and low-income people don't get a lot of funding. So that was where our help was really valuable, is that she just needed some people to go with her and like put the spotlight on this landlord and make it clear that this sort of thing wouldn't be tolerated.
Yeah, I would think that documentation is really important. When I was in law school, I volunteered at our small claims clinic as a law clerk, and a lot of tenant landlord issues end up in small claims court where people represent themselves. So it is very important that they have documentation. The rules are relaxed, and really documentation itself really can take the day. But I want to get back to this issue about the I think it's the Madison apartment complex. We can mention that because it's already been in the print media in both the Daily and I think the Tribune. So you mentioned no doors and things like that. Are there other issues at the Madison that you were organizing around?
Oh, yeah. There were a ton of issues. I mean, for one, so I live there now, and there's not enough dumpsters. Like, this place has like 500-some units for people to live in, and it seems like every week, at least when the school year was in session, so there were more students living there. These dumpsters would just be absolutely overflowing with garbage, and it would lead to people like leaving bags of garbage in the hallway in the place, which like, yeah, I'm mad at, you know, my neighbors for doing that. But at the same time, I understand, like, what's the point of hauling it out there if you're just going to have to set it next mm-hmm. to the dumpster? So that was one thing. There was also like, I was paying $340 a month for my rent, and a roommate of mine was paying $400 a month for the exact same place. And the only difference is that he signed his lease sooner than I did. So like, these landlords know that they have to keep cutting these deals to attract people. But at the same time, it's very dishonest how they're doing it. And they're spending like tons of money on advertising. Like, I would go over to my friends' places and I would see, you know, dozens of posters for the Madison. Come live at the Madison. You'll get a free flat screen TV and you'll only pay $320 a month. And I'm like, where was that deal for me? Like, you didn't have that, and you're spending all this money on advertising and pizza parties instead of, like, maintenance.
How did you recruit tenants to sign your petition or work with you in this instance?
We canvassed, so just knocked on doors and talked to them about issues they were having, and everyone was really enthusiastic and on board. There's a lot of discontent at that place, obviously, a lot of unhappy people, so people like usually pretty annoyed at having their door knocked for like something or other, but everyone was actually pretty happy to talk to us about this.
That's interesting. ISU is not known as a campus where socialism rocks, so I'm curious as to how you were sort of able to bridge the gap there.
If it's not really about like politics or ideology at the end of the day, it's about people's interest. It's about people kind of know that they're being taken advantage of, and we say we see that too, and we can help you, and this is how you do it, and that's how you get people on your side. If you talk politics, you're never going to really get anywhere, but it's talk people's material interests and say that you can actually make a difference and things can change.
So what's the status of the sort of disagreement that you have with the Madison right now?
Kind of at a standstill, unfortunately. I think we lost a lot of momentum, and especially now that it's the summer, school year-wise at least, we did lose a lot of momentum. Madison was sort of a learning experience for us, and we learned a lot of lessons that were taken into the future. But unfortunately, we did make some critical missteps that led to led to a loss of momentum and a loss of our ability to really form the sort of tenet movement we wanted to see there.
Okay, so this question is for either of you. What's the most important thing you learned in your activities at the Madison?
I'll answer first, and I'll say take down their contact info right away. We kind of assumed early on that, oh, we knock on doors and then we can always, like, we live nearby, we can always just knock the door again. But then, so we don't need to, like, take down the cell phone information or the email. And so half of the people we canvassed, we didn't have their contact info. And this led to a problem when the Madison really started to crack down on us canvassing. They threatened to call the cops on us a couple of times, and they confronted us several times, so we were unable to contact about half the people who were really enthusiastic about working against the Madison. So that's what I would say.
So we, you know, we're in Ames, Iowa. There aren't any large labor unions actively organizing or anything like that, which is a shame because I know in other parts of the state, like in Iowa City, folks have that kind of experience to draw on. So one, I think, learning experience from the Madison is that we can work with tenants to sort of build up grievances and take smaller actions and kind of, you know, test our might, get more tenants on board, do kind of like deeper organizing in that way, get more people like, you know what, yeah, taking collective action around this against like our landlord who does not share our interests is actually getting us somewhere. And that can lead to bigger things that would have allowed us to deploy some more like tenant power in enforcing what we wanted to see out of that petition.
I might be so bold as to make a suggestion.
Go for it.
Okay. If there was garbage overflowing and garbage in the hallways, I think an effective way to put pressure on the Madison or other landlords where that comes is to call Story County Public Health. Because overflowing garbage is a public health issue. It's a rodent issue. It's a disease issue. And you sort of multiply your power if you have an agency who calls them or comes visit them and say, hey, you're contributing to bad public health. You need to get it together here. So you might want to consider how you use other entities, regulatory and other, in the community to sort of multiply your tenants' union power. Mm-hmm. Just a thought.
I'm curious, you talked a little bit about, you know, some of the landlords or, you know, say property management companies calling the cops on you, which is frustrating to hear. You would think that it would be okay for you to just knock on your neighbor's door and talk to them. But what other kind of pushback did you get from people, being either people you knocked on the door for or anybody else in the community?
Preston, there was the time that folks from the Madison, like, cornered you while canvassing.
Yeah, but that was the incident where they threatened to call the cops on us. So it was lumped then. But yeah, no, we've been confronted while canvassing at the doors. I was canvassing one time and I had someone lecture me for like 15 minutes about how I need to take personal responsibility or something. I don't know, but it's like what do you think I'm doing right now? But so
was that a tenant that lectured you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's one of the. But most people are really enthusiastic. Nah, we've gotten a lot of not a lot of pushback. We've actually gotten a lot of support from.
Oh, that's great to hear.
From tenants, from entities that are not landlords, most people are on board with our mission. Yeah, I really can't think of any other landlords calling threatening to call cops on us is really as bad as it gets.
No, oh, that's pretty bad. that's frustrating to hear. So, you know, Ames has so many renters. What's your ultimate goal? Because I think that this could really build up momentum because there's just so many people who rent here. You know, at some point, how many people do you want to have involved in your group?
Everyone who rents in Ames.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's the goal. I mean, we're only as powerful as we have people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the more if we have everyone, we can really affect real change.
You know, to go back to some of the issues you've had, what are some of the common issues you hear from stories from people who – at other complexes or other places that, you know, issues that people have had?
Yeah. This is a really, really good question because a lot of people will talk to you at the doors will be like – if we just say, are you having any issues? They'll be like, no, this place is great. I love living here. But if we like look into reviews of the place, we'll so often find that there's like – plumbing problems or maintenance problems or those kind of things where landlords or property managers will cut corners here and there. And if we start mentioning these things to people at the doors, then they'll be like, yeah, you know, actually I have been experiencing that myself. And we'll be like, well, you're not the only one living here who's experienced that. Like we talked to, you know, your neighbor in unit 14, unit 17, and they were having the same issue. As well, we mentioned security deposit theft earlier. Absolutely rampant. So common. It's not clear to me that there's a widespread active like enforcement agency making sure that landlords and property managers are following the law when it comes to security deposits. And when a tenant writes a letter just saying like, hey, I'm expecting to receive my security deposit at this address with this amount of time, that's kind of expecting a lot of renters and tenants in Ames to be familiar with the Iowa law. When, unfortunately, a lot of folks are first-time renters and kind of assume that their landlord is going to be above board and like tell them things like that. But you're not going to find something in your lease saying, hey, after 30 days, if you haven't heard from us, you get your full security deposit back. Even though, at least under my understanding, and I'm not a lawyer, but under my understanding, that's what the Iowa law provides. So that's part of why education is such a huge part of our goals and our activities.
Well, one thing that's kind of interesting to me is that other universities that where I've worked or attended have a rental housing office. It's my understanding Iowa State does not. So an office that helps students work through issues of landlord tenancy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of interesting because obviously there would not be so many tenants in Ames but for the university. But I understand that the attorney hired by the government and the student body provides advice.
Yeah. So Student Legal Services, which is in the Memorial Union, has, I believe, two attorneys working there. And we've worked with them in the past to put on renters' rights workshops. And they're rock stars, really. They know the law and they like are very passionate about helping students, about helping renters, helping low-income people. I only wish that these guys could be helping the entire community and not just students, but they're a very valuable resource. And that's Student Legal Services. I want to give them a shout out because they're great.
Well, I suspect that they help the entire community because when a landlord engages in a practice and decides to quit changing in a practice or engaging in that practice because they get pressure, there is a benefit to the entire community, even though the individual plaintiff may be a student.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they have efforts or their efforts are go beyond their campus purview. But I have another question. Do you work with other progressive organizations in the state or are you kind of a standalone outfit?
We've worked a tiny bit with AMOS here in Ames, which, if I understand right, is like a network of progressive like faith groups like churches, temples, that sort of thing. We've worked with in Des Moines, the Central Iowa Democratic Socialists of America, in Iowa City, the Iowa City Democratic Socialists of America. In Iowa City, there's also the Center for Worker Justice, which has done similar work. In fact, maybe this would be a good time to mention that in Cedar Rapids and in Des Moines yesterday, groups of tenants with support from community activists went and negotiated with their landlords and bargained and rallied. And this out-of-state landlord bought up a couple mobile home parks and jacked up the rent from about $200. They were saying, we're going to jack up your land rent to $450. And it's a mobile home park. So these people are single parents, single working parents, retirees on a fixed income. And so this is going to displace everybody. So in order to fight that displacement, these tenants got in touch with local community activists, and they had these rallies, they had this bargaining, and they got this out-of-state landlord to agree to reduce their rent hike from $450 to $380 for the first year, which isn't a complete victory, but it shows that tenants taking action for themselves can lead to significant material progress and change.
Well, thank you. We're almost done with our time this morning. I want to ask you one more question, and then my colleague Carolyn is going to close. Just a quick question. If someone in Ames wants to contact you for assistance, how do they do that?
They can email us at amestenantsunion@gmail.com. They can also find us on Facebook at Ames Tenants, Ames Tenants Union. Did we have the S?
Yeah, we did.
Okay, Ames Tenants Union. And on Twitter, if that's the preferred way of contact, at Ames Tenant.
I'm so, I guess excited to hear about the progress that you're making, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the future progress that you make for our tenants here in Ames, because it's really important that we build a community that has fair and safe housing for everybody. So thank you both, Preston and Javier. I think your work is great. Be sure to keep up with APA activities on the Ames Progressive Alliance Facebook page and our website, amesprogressivealliance.org. You can also email us at amesprogressivealliance@gmail.com if you have any questions or any ideas for things that you want us to work on in the future. Thank you, KHOI, always for hosting the show and doing so much to move our community towards a more progressive future.
This is KHOI, and you've been listening to Local Talk. Thanks again to Ames Progressive Alliance and to their guests, Preston and Javier.